Blog Talk Radio.
...of KJMA's practice of constructive community reporting, we have invited Dr. Khalid Mohammed, Minister and Supreme Captain of Minister Louis Farrakhan and the elite fruit of Islam, to help us to put today's events into perspective. Dr. Mohammed.
Thank you, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. The Honorable Elijah Mohammed and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teach us that no matter how bad the condition looks that the black man and black woman is in, no matter how much self-destruction, no matter how much destructive behavior and conduct we see on the part of the black man and black woman, no matter how low the black man and black woman has fallen, the black man is the original man, God's people.
Could you help us to understand the kind of forces that create a Frank Williams?
When we look at a Roberta, a Frank Williams, and the many Frank Williams across the nation of America and the black nation in general, when we look at a Frank Williams, we see one who is other than self. And when we see him doing evil, we see him doing evil which is learned behavior, learned and picked up from the very devil himself over the past 400 years. I guess, Roberta, we could say the devil made him do it.
This is a tearjerker.
But in the land of milk and honey, there's a date you gotta celebrate. Otherwise it just expires and spoils. And these folks jump out the pot when the water too hot, cause the fire boils inside. You go to church to find you some religion, and all you hear is conniving and gossip and contradiction. And you try to vote and participate in the government, and the motherfucking Democrats is acting like Republicans. You join an organization that know black history, but ask them how they plan to make money and it's a mystery. Looking for the remedy, but you can't see what's hurting you. Revolution's here, the revolution is personal. They call me the political rapper, even after I tell them I don't fuck with politics. I don't even follow it. I'm on some KRS, Ice Cube, Chris Wallace shit. Main source, De La Soul, bumping Tupacalypse. Now, yeah.
Black power, black power, black power, and more black power to my people. It's your brother, your soldier in arms, comrade in battle, Sean Saddam Kweli. I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hills and slales of North America. Always, my family, this is a privilege. This is a joy. This is an honor to be able to talk to you. My bold revolutionary radio broadcast called Black Power Radio. As always, you know, we come with the truth. Hard-hitting, unflinching, unrelenting, unyielding, just straight truth to you, my black people, and even brown people, red people, yellow people, and yes, even to white people. We come straight at you, hardcore, no chaser. We bear witness, regardless of land, label, or language, that there's only but one God, giving thanks to that God of Africa, our forefathers and foremothers, the mothers and the fathers, builders and architects of civilization, who use supreme mathematics and supreme sciences and supreme intellect to construct a world dynamic, a universe, and a scope that we exist now, billions and billions of years later. There is no mystery that the original woman and the original man are the original people, the gods and the goddess, the divine creation that has come with this planet. There is no mystery to that. The builders of civilization, builders of the pyramid, govern the world and give law. The first to give true civilization, Sister Toni Braxton, even though you said you believe it came from the Caucasian, the black man and black woman, were the first to give the world civilization, civilized behavior, even civilizing others as they have fallen into the dark stages or what the world history calls the Dark Ages. In other history calls Jahiliya, or another dark period. It was the black man and black woman, the knowledge from the black man and black woman, that raised up many nations, and that the nations exist on today as we're talking right now, in February of the 24th in 2014. The government of the United States of America, or United Snakes of America, still operates off of black knowledge. They do it in secret through Masonic and Shriner rituals. Other nations around the world worship black statues and black divinity and black ideology. It is you, black man and black woman in America, who do not know yourself. We are dead to the knowledge of ourselves. We're dead to the knowledge of our gods. We're dead to the knowledge of our culture. We're dead to our folkways, to our forays. We're dead to our norms, and we have been robbed of the power of our own being. A no-good devil, a bastard, robbed us, an illegitimate child of the Father and the creation, robbed us of our arraignment and took our minds away from us. And so now, as you have heard and as you see us doing other than self. And you see us acting other than self. You see us moving out of accordance with self and out of the way that we used to originally act. And so we can't sit back and reminisce and talk about how great it was and how fancy it was and how nice it was. And this and our generation goes to hell. Generations before us go to hell. Those after us go to hell and are living in hell. You don't have to wait to die to find hell when you are living in hell on top of the ground. Our job is to produce heaven. And so you are introduced and now being made to understand the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. I bring you greetings. Our central committee, and greetings from our freedom fighters and those who have set up bases all throughout America and those who have capital and bases all throughout Africa, those who have other headquarters and bases all in England and the Isles of the Pacific and Brazil and wherever you may be. Whether you're known or unknown, any of you out there representing the New Black Panther Party, we bring you greetings from those strugglers. We salute all of our political prisoners, those who are locked down behind the enemy's bars, those some incarcerated for 23 and a half hours a day, some who are in small, tiny, tiny cages, and who can barely move for what they call the dog pen, and they only lay out for about an hour or so just to be barely enough to stretch a little bit, but those who have made the ultimate sacrifice or sacrifices for black liberation, who took the cause serious enough to take it to our enemy and take it to our oppressor and work to make sure that our babies were educated, proper meals to eat, and clothes on their backs, and that they knew their self-worth, and that they knew that a wicked police department and knew that a wicked criminal justice system would not be as unjustly without a fight and without resistance. Salute to our political business. Salute to our captives and those who are held behind the wall. Salute to our exiles, those who are living outside of America, and those who are living in other parts of the world, those who may have had to flee because the slave catchers, or what you today call the police department and other agencies, are hotter behind their trail and on their trail, and they are evading capture, like the great warriors, Sister Harriet Tubman, and the great Sister Sojourner Truth, and others who ran from the plantation slave catchers of the old yesteryear. Salute to you who are out there, and salute to you who are in this generation, who are fighting, some of you in different formations, others of you who are with the new Black Panther Party, and are revitalized and have a new spirit and a new ideology and a new belief in black power, a new belief in what you heard from Black Revolution, a new belief in what you know from that black teaching that comes all the way from Africa and is made its way to you here in the hills of North America. Salute to you on this Monday night, every Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. We come across this broadcast bringing to you many guests, many people from across the breadth and scope of the United States of America and throughout the world who in one way or another are connected to this struggle so much of the fact that they have to share it with you live on the air. There are many of you who are underground, and salute to you who are underground, who are doing work under the ground, and you're not able to broadcast this like I'm talking to you tonight, or you're not able to be heard from like we're talking to you tonight. But we salute you and recognize you, those of you who are putting in work in the UG, in the underground. But we're coming to you live and direct from the hills and smells of North America. And we know and believe and know that our ancestors have sent us to recapture our people. Not capture them in a poverty sense or in a capitalistic sense, but recapture them from our enemies who have taken them from themselves. And so we have to thank and call the role of great warriors who have helped us along this path. And some of them I name and some of them I don't name. I give thanks to all of them. A long list of freedom fighters and warriors who have gone on to the realm of the egg room or the ancestral plane. Like the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey, who gave you the UNIA, that great Prophet Noble Drew Ali, and the Moore Science Temple of America, Robert F. Williams, and the Deacons for Defense, giving thanks, of course, to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the first rise of the Nation of Islam, giving thanks to his student and chief protege, the Honorable Minister Malcolm X, El-Hajj Malik Shabazz, brother Olawale, giving thanks to the first rises and resurrections of the Black Panther Party, the Black Panther tradition that came from Lowndes County, Alabama, those freedom parties and freedom organizations that organized under another brave black man named Kwame Ture, who was formerly known as Stokely Carmichael, who organized with another political prisoner who we give honor to tonight, Imam Jamil Alameen, formerly H. Rap Brown, and organized with SNCC and the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, giving thanks to Baba Jijaga Geronimo Pratt, Geronimo Jijaga Pratt, giving thanks to Apprentice Bunchy Carter, and giving thanks to Minister Huey P. Newton and Little Bobby Hutton, giving thanks to all of those who have struggled and have fought and given their lives, those who are in the Black Liberation Army, every Panther Regiment and Black Liberation Army, known and unknown, giving thanks, of course, to those who were the educators and the school teachers in the little black churches, giving thanks to the great reverends and revolutionary preachers who came out of the biblical text and gave you the spiritual fire, as James Baldwin talked about the fire next time, and Eldridge Cleaver about his soul not only on ice, but later came back and talked about his soul on fire. We give thanks for them. We give thanks for the great Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Sr. And we give thanks for the great Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. We give thanks, of course, to, again, James Baldwin. We give thanks, of course, to Sister Ida B. Wells and Sister Fannie Lou Hamer. We give thanks to Sister Shirley Chisholm, who ran for presidency long before many did. We give thanks to great men and women in this tradition of black struggle and black liberation. As we know, we are not free. And you know many names. I won't name them all, but we give thanks to all of our ancestors who have laid this pathway and have made it possible for us to forge a pathway of progress through some dark times, as we have an open enemy that has consistently resisted us. Every time we have worked to build a nation, whether you're talking about Tulsa, Oklahoma, or small upstarts, like I say, in the Nation of Islam, or the UNIA, or the MOVE movement, every time we have come together, there are forces that work on us externally and internally that work to move to stop our rise. It was manifested through a program, a counterinsurgency program, a counterintellect program called COINTELPRO that was started by the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and they began early on to go to work unofficially on the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, then later coming in and targeting others who they considered communists. They targeted Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., came in later and targeted the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and targeted Kwame Ture, Stokely Carmichael, targeted the Black Panther Party, targeted the American Indian Movement, or AIM, targeted the Brown Berets or the Chicano Brothers and Sisters. They targeted everywhere that they thought that melanated people would rise and come together. But ultimately, J. Edgar Hoover, the former director of the FBI, came out in the memo, and those that were with him came out in the memo and said that their ultimate aim was to stop the rise of a black messiah that would unite the hearts of the people and that would unite and turn the youth towards black nationalism. And so it was black nationalism that the FBI and the internal security forces of the United States government that they went to work on. Black nationalism, the belief that black people should have their own territory and that black people should have a right to self-determination and self-governance, and that we should not be dependent upon any external force, the white man or others, that we should rely on ourselves, that we should control our own political arenas. We should control our own divine destiny. We should have land and good earth and territory that's fertile and minerally rich to call our own. And so when groups like the Republic of New Africa, when groups like the Republic of New Africa sprung up and called for land, they were targeted. And so ultimately, many of our leadership were jailed. Many of the leadership were killed and assassinated, as in the case of Fred Hampton, may he rest in peace, and Brother Mark Clark, may he rest in peace, and so many others who were killed and targeted. So many were killed and targeted because the FBI was determined to stop the rise of a black messiah. And so you look at the community today, and you wonder what happened. Why is my neighborhood so decrepit in many areas? Why is there a liquor store on darn near every corner? Why does our children not know the history of conscious struggle? People that went through to get this far, to even get something as simple as a integrated lunch counter, to be able to sit in a restaurant and sit at a table and be able to eat and dine in peace without somebody bothering you or calling you out your name or trying to force you out the establishment. There were people who had to bleed, fight, kill, and die just for black people to be able to sit down and have a bite to eat, for us to be able to sit in a movie theater and watch a movie in peace with our family. Someone had to fight and die just for us to be able to do that. And so it is black nationalism that they fear. And so as they work to crush black nationalism in America, crushing the great movements of Minister Malcolm X and others, they thought ultimately that the ultimate destruction of the rise of the black messiah would be if they hit us with chemical dependency and biological dependency on warfare, chemical dependency and biological warfare. And so during the era, right after the destruction of the Black Panther Party, the final destruction of that element of black liberation movements through the 70s and through the 80s, as there was just fragmented movements, it looked like all hope was lost. It looked like they had totally decimated the strugglers of black liberation. It looked like that, as you saw Huey P. Newton going around on drugs and others who were out here trying to do what they could, but their movements had been broken finally in 1989 when they had assassinated and killed the iconic figure of the Minister of Defense, Huey P. Newton. They thought it was over, and they thought that they had finally destroyed the last patriarch of black revolution in America, or change agents in America. And in 1989, that spirit moved among the people, and as it has done throughout the wheels of time, wherever there is resistance and wherever there is turmoil and injustice, a force rises up to challenge that chaos and challenge that indecency and challenge that wickedness. It has been the panther throughout the history of Africa and the panther throughout the history in the Deep South and America and throughout the East, West, North, and South that has risen up to challenge the reactionary violence of the state and establishment when they have moved on black people and moved on our interests. And so in 1989, a black man who had been a part of the Black Panther Party, named Brother Michael McGee out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, he formed the Black Panther Militia and hooked up with a man out of Dallas, Texas, named Aaron Michaels, who began to organize what was then known as the Black Panther Party, and then put a new generation, a new foundation of Black Panthers in America, and it became the new Black Panther Party for self-defense in 1989, all the way up until the early 90s, into the middle 90s. And it was a small organization struggling to gain traction after the crack epidemic and crack era, the pimp era, the black exploitation era. It was working to gain its traction and find its way and find its course in a new generation of faith and degeneracy and hypocrisy and destruction and death. It was working to find itself. Ultimately, it budded up enough where a black man who was the spokesman for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who himself was national spokesman to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a black man who became supreme captain of an elite vanguard of men in that movement, in that organization called the Fruit of Islam, the military training, a black man who was in the jungles of Uganda with a man you may have heard a lot about but didn't know a lot about. Some of you may have saw the movie with Brother Forrest Whitaker, and he was being portrayed. Some of you may have read Time magazine, and he was being talked about as a man who they said would eat people. They said he was a man who would eat people and crush white folks and all kind of stuff. There's a lot of hype and Hollywood hype around the black man, but he was a warrior and a freedom fighter. I'm talking about General Idi Amin Dada. he was a freedom fighter, and he had worked with this black man I'm talking to you about, who we know as the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. The Honorable Khalid Abdul Muhammad became a lieutenant, some of you don't know, and a leader in the military or revolutionary formation of General Idi Amin, and the training soldiers there in the jungles of Uganda to fight this white man and drive the white man in imperialism and their capitalistic reactionary forces out of Africa to liberate Africa. But we needed help here in America, so he came back to America. And by the time he had went through his course in the Nation of Islam and had his foundation there and his teaching there and his training there from a bold revolutionary captain from the West Coast, and Captain Ali Rashid, who was taught and trained how to deal with the police and deal with this beast, he ran his course in the nation, and he was out here. And he became, in 1997, the chairman of our organization, the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. And from all that time in late 97 on into 2001, he organized and moved for black people, putting black power back on the minds and hearts of the youth, back on the minds and hearts of our people. He organized the youth and put the youth in the spirit of rebellion. He did exactly what J. Edgar Hoover did not want to happen. He put black nationalism back on the minds and hearts of your babies in the hip-hop generation, and they begin to rap in their lyrics, revolutionary raps. They begin to rap with Public Enemies. They begin to rap with X-Clan. They begin to rap with the Ice Cubes. Begin to rap with the Tupac Shakur's. They begin to rap revolutionary lyrics, and the revolutionary lyrics got into the minds and hearts of the people, and they would spread black nationalism and black power all throughout the world, through mixtapes and through CDs, cassettes, through videos, and there was a movement that grew out of the hip-hop generation. And so the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad became chairman of this organization, and he transcended this world. He left this world in the year 2001. But there was a bold black man who he had trained, as he had trained many of us, and put that spirit of fighting in many of us as we are here today. And this black man stepped up and answered the call of truth and answered really the call of destiny. He was a young attorney, a young student warrior out of Howard University, a Howard University law student who had came up on the West Coast, that's what I said, in Los Angeles, California. He came up in Los Angeles, California, seeing the destruction of the Blood from the Crip era, seeing the genocidal destruction out there. He had a heart for his people, had a heart for his people. He had a will to serve his people and to guide the people back towards the path of truth and independence. Ultimately, graduating from Howard University as an attorney, he was awarded Young Lawyer of the Year. He passed his bar exam on the first time around, a well-educated young man who lent his time and who dedicated himself to the sacrifice and service of black people. Became the chairman from 2001 on into late last year of 2013, talking about our brother who will join us tonight, who founded an organization in 1996 called Black Lawyers for Justice. You know you need some justice in these courts. You know, looking at Jordan Davis, looking at Trayvon Martin, looking at so many other countless cases, and Oscar Grant and Sharon Bell and so many other cases, you know you need a revolutionary attorney that will have your back in the courtroom. He's going to join us tonight. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz will be on World Renown. Just had a big interview with Geraldo Rivera talking about O.J. Simpson and all kind of good stuff. Just came back from Detroit, Michigan, up there with Savior's Day and Minister Louis Farrakhan and that whole dynamic that Chronic invented, what they call Black History Month. He's got a reporter off of the ground. What's been going on in the world? What's happening with the revolutions across the world? He's going to report in. And then we're going to come back at you as he casts it off and you ask your questions and we go through this. We're going to come back to you at 10:30 with a great living legend, a student of that great Baba and scholar, Dr. John Henry Clark, a student of Dr. Amos Wilson, a student of Dr. Yusuf bin Yakinen, okay, a living scholar, and one of the last men on this planet to formally introduce and open up for the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad in his last lecture. You can see this brother in a lecture called, what he called, Enough Negro Stuff, Revolution is the Only Solution, in the last lecture of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, this warrior, this scholar, this general and elder. You can see him opening up for the general. I'm talking about Dr. Leonard Jeffries. Some of you all can remember him a few years ago. The so-called Jews jumped all over him. He's a professor there at City College in New York, and they were mad at him because he was teaching black people or Africans the truth about their history. He was teaching us about who he was. He was teaching about who they were and what their historical role was in our enslavement. And you know, any time that you mention the so-called Jews, they jump all over you. They can say whatever they want to say about black people. They can show us all kind of ways in their movies. They can have us all kind of ways in their TV shows. They can finance the most filthy, degenerate, most disrespectful, degrading forms of music. And they can run the most filthiest labels and television brands and movie brands anywhere in the world. But if you say one thing about the so-called Jews, they jump all over you. Look at what they did to Michael Jackson. Look at what they did to so many others out there who, when they just mention one word about the so-called Jews, they jump all over you. We're not no punctified Negroes or black folks on this radio broadcast or in this organization. And we don't give a damn about the so-called Jews and your feelings, because we're going to expose you, beast, for who you are. Those of you who are the wicked ones in the so-called Jewish community, we're not casting a blind net out here. We're talking actual fact. Those of you who have had a hand in the capitalistic, blood-sucking domination of our community, those of you who have a hand in the transatlantic slave trade of our people, those of you who to this day refuse to lift a finger to help our people, but you suffered under Hitler and lost, according to some records, up to as high as 6 million so-called Jews there in your plight against Hitler. But our people, who by low numbers lost 600 million in our Holocaust, our hell of a cost of the pain that still goes on to this day, you have not lifted a finger. You've received reparations, and you were made rich off of the back of poor Jews. Some of you rich so-called Jews made rich off of the back of even poor so-called Jews, and you've exalted yourself into the inner circles of America, into the elite circles of America. You form societies and secret sororities. You do secret rituals out there, and you know the truth, and you know what's going on with our people, but you refuse to help the black man and black woman, or you refuse to get the hell out of the way, and you refuse to stop exploiting our people. And so, as the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad did when he was here, we are in that tradition to keep our black boots in your behind, and that when you stand up to exploit and disrespect black people, as some of you are doing in your stores and you're doing in your businesses, we're here to kick your behind physically, spiritually, mentally, and morally in self-defense as you attack our people. And so, to Leonard Jeffries is one of them kind of men who is cut from that cloth, who who don't care nothing about people's feelings. He cares about the truth, and he cares about that which is right. He is a living legend and a scholar. He's coming on to join us at 10:30. It's a four-hour show, so you might as well stretch on out, because you're going to get it back-to-back, action-packed. You don't get it nowhere else like this. Where else can you hear these kinds of living legends here in your face? And while I'm talking about living legends, let me take this time to pay tribute and give a salute to a general who passed from amongst us just a few days ago, a brother who was always there for us, a black man who, another man who, at the last lecture of the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, if you get the video, you can see him bringing the general on. When many of you scared of deaf Negroes out there would not bring Dr. Khaled to your city. When many of you scared of deaf ones out there said, no, Dr. Khaled upsets my white friends. When many of you out there, even in the New Black Panther Party at that time, when you wouldn't support him, when you wouldn't show up for him, and he was calling you on the phone, trying to get you just to hold security for him and just to show up with him and our national chairman today, Minister Hashim Nzinga, when you wouldn't even be there for him, turned out to be his last lecture on this planet, there was a black man that made sure, along with his wife and queen, Sister Yah, that made sure that the general had a place to talk to his people and organize his people and help this new Black Panther Party. There was a black man who was there when the general needed something to eat, needed a shoulder to lean on, and needed a companion in his struggle. He's gone on to the realm of the ego. And we salute him and thank him for his efforts on this planet. And we honor him on Black Power Radio and honor him in everything that we do. We're talking about Brother Oba Lewa, or Brother Oba, one of the African merchants, revolutionaries, freedom fighters, father, husband, all of that he was, and much more to us. Some of you who have been following Black Power Radio, you've heard him on this radio broadcast. You've heard him during the times when we were there to tribute the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad. You heard him talking about doing for self and economics and what they had going there. Our brother has left from amongst us and passed from amongst us. But we don't hold our head down too long, for we know that black man put his work in. And we know that energy and that spirit and that essence of Brother Oba lives all within us. And that as that great elder and that great man, that great warrior of a man and giant, Dr. John Henry Clark said, we have to bury that man but continue to plan. And so we send condolences to the family of Brother Oba Lewa. We send condolences to his queen and wife and comrade, warrior comrade, Sister Yah Asantewa, another warrior who was there for the general. And any of you out there who have lost loved ones, I know a close comrade of mine who is always on the scene for me and always there for us whenever we need her, Sister Dia, Sister Dorothea, has lost her brother. We send condolences to you and any of your family members out there, any of your loved ones out there who have, if you lost somebody recently, we send condolences to you from the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, for we know that the hands of death will touch us all. But it's not about the hands of death that touches us. It's about what we do in between the time that we're born into that final time when we're put into the ground. That is not the end. For we say again, as the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey said, look for us in the whirlwind. Look for us in that storm. Look for us in the turmoil of our people as we agitate to get free. Look for us, because wherever you see these babies, wherever you see this new generation, you'll see us again. You'll see the great ones again. You see that energy. That's how we know they're here with us, and they're here in your person. Salute to Brother Oba Lewa and his family and those who are grieving right now. And we carry on and trumpet on in his name, and we give thanks for his work and his honor, and we say Ashe. And as that great warrior, Tupac Amaru Shakur, say, now you might not be pouring out a little liquor, But you can pour out a little water. You can pour out a little juice. Or you might pour out some liquor in radio listening land. But do your libation for Brother Obar. We give thanks as we move forward and give thanks for him. But black power to black people, and it's all power to the people. And hey, it's Monday night, and I'm so thankful for you, family, to be with us. And as always, again, I say continue to struggle. Continue to fight. Continue to push. Look at what's going on in the world today. There's revolution all over the planet, not just in the black nation, but there's discord and disrupt in the red nation. There's discord and disrupt in the yellow nation. There's discord and disrupt in the brown nation. Discord and disrupt even in the white nation. You look at Kiev, you look over there in Venezuela, you look over there in Cameroon, Egypt, look in Central and Southern Africa, look in Uganda. People are upset all over the world. And quiet as it's kept, people are upset in the United Snakes of America. People are tired of an elite puppet structure where the rich get rich and the poor get poor, where we only are able to give our people, our children, dreams. You give them figments of a dream which they will never achieve. Many of them will never achieve. And others of them achieve only through certain sacrifices. They achieve through lying down on a director's couch and being turned into homosexuals. Now there's a big homosexual push, a big LGBT or whatever it is, push. Lesbian, bi, gay, and transgender, they say, push to your babies and to you, trying to turn you out and make you perverse, trying to make you lie down with another man, black man, trying to make you lie down with another sister, another woman, black woman. There's a big push now to turn you, sister, into a white woman, have you with blue contacts in your eyes, blonde hair in your head, make you straight up but straight down, no frills, no chills, nothing at all, miss 6 o'clock. That is not your nature. You are the original black man and the original black woman, and there's no way in hell that a strong black man and a strong black woman can accept this push of freakishness and licentiousness from the devil, from the no-good bastards, from the only. When I say devil, I ain't talking about somebody on under no ground. I ain't talking about somebody with no pitchfork and pantyhose. You already know who I'm talking about on top of the ground. Let's not get spooky out there. Let's not get watered down out there. There are live human beings that are pushing these issues to you and pushing this mess to you. They're pushing it to your face and trying to teach you a way that is anti-African. There has to be a strong voice in the wilderness that will teach our babies the truth about ourselves and teach you the truth about yourself. Because many of the adults are weak and watered down in 2014. Since the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad left from the scene, some of you Negroes weak, you wicked. Some of you have bowed down, your knees have gotten soft, you got spineless out there. You got, as they say, yellow out there, yellow backed out there. You done got pumped out and sissified out there. The strong black man being turned into a punk out there. Where your young children can be killed in the streets. Jordan Davis bust on in the streets. Trayvon Martin bust on in the streets. They say others out there bust on and killed in the streets. But you didn't hear about the heads of those who killed our babies rolling down the concrete. You didn't hear about that. Why? Because many of us were punked out and we've been sold an American dream that we are all the same and that we are all integrated and that we are all peaceful. And that all the things that black people are experiencing is just a figment of our imagination. That's not happening to you, guy. That's what they say. That's not happening to you, guy. I'm not like that. I don't even think like that. Some of my best friends are black. But all the time, you're being killed out here in the street. All the time, we're being murdered in the streets. All the time, the dope that the government put in our community is being peddled to our community through some of our own forces, right from the top. The black man has been made weak out there. The black woman has been made alone and sometimes afraid out there. She's been left to fend for her children out there and fend for herself out there, and sometimes she has been turned against the black man. Sometimes the black woman has been turned against the black man, and the black man has been turned against the black woman. This is what Willie Lynch told you he was going to do. Willie Lynch told you that he was going to turn the young against the old. He was going to turn the male against the female. He was going to turn the tall against the short. He was going to turn the big patient slave against the lower status plantation slave, because they were both slaves, and turn them right against each other. This is what's happened in 2013. So there has to be strong ones in the wilderness of North America who will fight back and who will resist and will understand that you don't have nothing to lose but your chains. We say run or side or run. We say run or side or run, wherever you are in Cuba. We say hands off or side, goddammit. Any of you politicians out there who at the capture of Assad Shakur, you are a no-good bastard. And guess what? Your record is out there. Those of you who are masquerading and perpetrating a fraud, like you're running with the black cause and running with our people, we know that you voted for Assad Shakur's capture, former Black Panther Party member and BLA member, freedom fighter, who you shot there in the New Jersey Turnpike, Assad Shakur and some of her other comrades. We said run Assad, but we understand Assad is very safe, and she's all right, by the grace of God. But any of you know good passage out there that vote to capture Assad Shakur, you should be challenging the street wherever you are in 2014. Hands off Assad Shakur, and hands off our political business. I'm telling you, it's going to be a fight for survival, black man and black woman. You can delude yourself as we prepare to hear from our chairman, and we prepare to hear from Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. You can delude yourself to thinking that you're not in a fight. You can delude yourself that just because you can go to a job, or just because you can go to school or church or mosque or civic group, or just because you can drive down the street, you can delude yourself and think that you are one and the same as those who have put you in this condition. You can delude yourself, and you can fix your big, thick African lips to try to talk like white folks and be like white folks. You can delude yourself to think that you are some part of the American infrastructure. But when they look at you, black man, and when they look at you, they see a nigger, as they call it. They see a colored boy. Some of them see a coon and a shine and a handball. Some of them see something less than human. They see, at the end of the day, a wage slave. They see the same as what they're doing to our brothers and sisters in the prison industrial complex, making them work for Target, making them work for Walmart. They're making them work for Walmart, making them work for Macy's, making them work for the corporations, for free labor. They get mad at others who have done what they call child labor laws, and you know, make people work for cheap wages. But you do the same thing to our nephews, our grandsons, our nieces, our cousins, our brothers, our sisters, sometimes our fathers and mothers. You do the same thing in the prison industrial complex. There must be an abolitionist movement of the prison industrial complex. There's not anyone that I've seen in the hills of North America that has done a 20-year bid, or a 30-year bid, or a 50-year bid, and come out and say, I've been reformed because of the prison industrial complex. Anybody who's went to jail and served some time, it is because they went in there and studied and did some stuff on their own. It ain't because of the program of the state. We must abolish the prison industrial complex. We must take our babies off of that private industry, as they're funneling our babies into the incarceration centers of America, the incarceration centers and warehouses of America that are stacking and packing our people on top of one another, causing them to fight and kill sometimes each other, and causing them to be away from their society when they can be contributing to our people. Those like Umar Abdul-Jamal and Russell Maroon Schultz and so many others who are there who you know is innocent. Those, like I told you, like Geronimo Pratt, who were incarcerated for years on years and they were victims of COINTELPRO, and you knew they were innocent. They served time. Okay? None of them reformed because of the state, quote unquote, as they call them, reformatories. They helped themselves. And others were freedom fighters and liberators. We got to abolish the prison system. You must realize there has to be an abolitionist movement. Abolish that which enslaves and incarcerates our people. You got to know that in 2014, your lots and your salvation will not come from your oppressor. Your lot and your salvation will not come from your oppressor and those who benefit off of your ignorance. The new Black Panther Party is here in 2014 to agitate for change, here to push for freedom, for justice, for equality, for the liberation and salvation of the Black nation. I don't care what you heard on TV. I don't care what you might have heard on some Jewish-controlled media, CNN or Fox or any of that. I don't care what you heard on controlled Internet sources like Google. You come here to Black Power Radio, you know what we're about. You see us in the streets. You see us organizing. You see us feeding our people. You see us putting clothes on our people, shoes on their feet. You see us educating our own. You see us setting up our own businesses. You see us working to get land of our own. You see us building institutions in America. So it don't matter what nobody say about us. They talked about the greatest amongst us to slow down their movement. And so we are not invincible from slander. But no matter what their slander is against us, and no matter how much they try to turn away Black people from this vanguard source of movement and this agitation process and this cleaning up process, no matter how much they try to work against us, the more they try to turn you away from us, the stronger and more attached you become to us. And so we say to you, join on and register with the new Black Panther Party for self-defense. Become a part of a movement that is sweeping America, that is moving through the ghettos, that is cleaning up the cancerous cells of white supremacy in America and Africa and England and throughout the world. We must clear our minds as well as we clear our behinds. We must clear our thoughts as well as clear up what we were taught. We must become new African. We must become new Black men. New Black women, we must become modern-day Nat Turners. We must become modern-day Denmark Vases. We must become modern-day Sojourner Truths and modern-day Harriet Tubmans. We got some slaves to liberate Black man and Black woman. So our website, as I give you a few announcements here, we bring on our guests now. Our website is newblackpanther.com. One more time, that's newblackpanther.com. Get in the organization right away and get busy in the organization. Those of you who try to reach us by phone, you can reach us at area code 347-903-0886. Again, that's 347-903-0886. Or if you have to drop us a line, newblackpantherheadquarters@gmail.com. New Black Panther headquarters at gmail.com or nbpphq@yahoo.com. And we're going to prepare to hear from Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. And he is the founder of an organization called Black Lawyers for Justice. And he's out for some justice. He ain't playing around. He's out for justice, and he is in and out of these courtrooms, now able to go all through the Supreme Court in places where most of you have never seen in your life. He's able to go there as an attorney. He's harassed in airports by the TSA every time he tries to move. I bear witness. We're going to harass him, get harassed and hemmed up by TSA. Because why? Because not because he's advocating some kind of craziness, because he has the truth in him. And the enemy is scared of truth, and we're going to take your calls. Now, the number to call tonight will be 646-478-4447. If you're listening via internet, via radio, however you're listening to us, you call in. We're going to do a question-and-answer session, and that number will be 646-478-4447. 646-478-4447, your platform number one. And get in here. and get involved to talk to our big brother and champion attorney, Malik Louis Shabazz, and talk to our warrior scholar and champion, Dr. Leonard Jeffries. I do have an undercard. I got time to take it, so we'll see what's going on. Your area code is 347-406-347-406-1-Live, Black Power Radio. Your question, comment, welcome, Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power. It's Brother Supreme from Queens,
New York. How are you, sir? Black Power.
Yeah, Black Power. You listen to the show, and of course, Brother Sean Kwali, I love the way you speak, man. I mean, you're inspirational, and you know, I always listen to the show. You know, we out here in New York putting in work. You know, New Black Panther Party. So, you know, I'm just calling in, and I'm ready to listen to Attorney Malik Dula Shabazz and Dr. Leonard Jeffries when they come on, and well, have some more questions. You know, after the show. We're not after the show, but during the show. So, you know, I'm just calling in, and I'm just listening in. Black Power.
Black Power, you're doing the right thing, and now make sure that you tell your neighbor, tell your friend, tell your comrades. Black Power Radio is on the air. Brother Supreme, you're doing the right thing. Get your questions ready, and be prepared to ask these men and these generals questions that will intrigue their mind and prompt them to give the proper kinds of answers. I want to say to the Black Power Radio listening audience that when we have guests on the line, it is important that you take full advantage of the chance to ask our guests questions and that you don't let the opportunity pass by, as many of these guests that we have are sometimes well-placed guests, and they're guests who are legacy guests or historical guests. They are people who have been around and seen some things. You know, and so I know many of you, you know, you're like me, you're like, man, if I could only ask Mr. E.P. Newton this kind of question, or if I could have only asked Martin Luther King this kind of question, or if I could have only asked Robert F. Williams this kind of question, or if I could only talk to Minister Malcolm X, I would ask him this, or ask Sister Harris this, or ask Sister Rosa Parks that. Well, don't let this opportunity pass you by. When you have these kinds of men and women that we work hard to bring you on this radio broadcast and connect to the struggle with you, you must take full advantage of your time of being able to press number one and use your technology. They didn't have this in the 80s. They didn't have this in the 70s. They didn't have this in the 60s. You wouldn't able to just tweet, Elijah Muhammad, a tweet, no Marcus Garvey. You weren't able to, you know what I mean, go into a chat room and, you know, ask little Bobby Hutton, nothing. All right? So when you got these kinds of guests and you got this type of technological advancement as actionaries and visionaries who are looking forward to the future, you have to ask men and women who have been there. And some who have done that, and some who have seen some things. Others who have been all in Africa. They've been all throughout the Caribbean. They've been all throughout Europe, and others all throughout some Israel. The Honorable Colin Muhammad went all through Israel and everywhere. Okay? You got to ask them some questions, and you got to get to know these helpers and these mighty warriors on the front lines. I was blessed to be able to say a few words with the OG comrade Emory Douglas, the former Minister of Culture, Art and Culture of the Black Panther Party. I was asking him a few questions on what we call proper propaganda and information. He was able to respond to me and feed my soul, and now I'll be able to help you, ministers of information, and those of you who are artists, and those of you who are into the imagery of our people, those of you who are cartoonists, which we need more cartoons, quote-unquote cartoons, and black cartoons. We need those of you who are able to be animators, those of you who can put real revolutionary movies together. We need that. As you heard Dr. Khalid Muhammad say, he wrote a movie, Sankofa, but he said he didn't like Sankofa for one thing. He said that it came time for what they call payback time. After that, white man had raped that woman all throughout the movie and misused that woman all throughout the movie, misused that queen all throughout that movie. When it came for payback time, and she got the ups on that no good bastard, then the scene cut away. all these movies out here, as I told you earlier, controlled by these corporations, these Jewish-backed corporations, and every time, darn near, 9 times out of 10 times, the black man is the first to die in these movies. Or the black woman is made to look like a buffoon, or she's made some love interest to some Caucasian, and she can't never seem to find no worthy black man in these cinematic features. And we want to give a salute to whether it's Danny Glover out there, who is working to make a movie on the Haitian Revolution. And he's finding a hard time, finding it hard to get his movie financed, because when he took it to certain people in the industry, the answer to him was, there's no white heroes. They told Brother Danny Glover, great actor, activist, entrepreneur, who's making a movie on the Haitian Revolution, Toussaint L'Ouverture, Bukman, Dessalines, all that great stuff, where he won that revolution and liberated that colony from the no-good white oppressor. He was told that he cannot get his movie financed because there was many white heroes. And so he's scraping now and trying to get his movie done. But it's just a sign that we must control our own divine destiny for movies. We must control our divine destiny for television. We must control our divine destiny for radio. As I'm putting it out here now, I'm not relying on no CNN, I ain't relying on no VH1, I ain't relying on no Fox News, I ain't relying on no MSNBC, none of that stuff. None of that stuff you see on the TV screen, I ain't relying on nothing on radio, we're making our own stuff. Black Power Radio, this broadcast is just the beginning. I don't want no CNN, I want some CNN. Huh? I don't want no Fox News, I want some Glock News. Alright? We're going to make our own radio, our own TV coming right up out the new Black Panther Party. By the grace of God, by the grace of God, black people will be able to do their own stuff. Salute and shout out there to our brother out there doing National Black TV as well. I'm trying to give you all some plugs out there. As we're coming strong in 2014, I know they thought the black power, black nationalist movement was dead. I'm here to tell you the black nationalist, black power movement is alive and well. It's alive and well. Quit waiting on Bill O'Reilly to rubber stamp this movement. Bill O'Reilly is an old fat and no good bastard. Rush Limbaugh, pill popping bastard, paid millions to slander our movement. They will never rubber stamp this movement. And the day they rubber stamp this movement, you'll see me and others walk away from it. We ain't got no love from the other side. And let me go to another call here as we prepare to hear from my guest. And it's called 504-432. Yeah, it goes 504-432. Welcome to Black Power. We'll agree with your question and comment. Come on in.
Black Power, Brother Sean. I said I like what you're doing, brother. You know, you're doing an excellent job. But these are my two questions. Is the new Black Panther Party working on a prison ministry, you know, to reach out to some of our brothers and sisters that's locked down? And the second question is, do you believe that a lot of the entertainers who had money to help out people, do you think they were a threat to the United States government, people like Jimi Hendrix, Bob Marley, Harry Belafonte, and all of them?
That's a great question, my brother. To answer the question first, is the new Black Panther Party working on a prison ministry? The new Black Panther Party has initiated a prison ministry that has already began. We want to talk about our brother Dale in St. Louis, Missouri, who just came back from the prison just the other day. I think it was yesterday. Just came out of prison, moving on the road to talk to our people that's locked down and incarcerated. And who, ourselves, brother, has been in and out of the penitentiaries for many years. Attorney Malik Rishabai is in and out of the penitentiaries and prison systems many years. Minister Hashim was in and out of the penitentiaries many years, sometimes outside the bars, sometimes inside the bars. But either way, wherever we are, we're working, brother. And, yes, we do have a prison ministry. We're looking and working to expand the prison ministry. We want new Black Panther prison chapters, prison think tanks, study groups all throughout the halls and squares of North America. Oh, yes, it is a threat to the white black movement in some regards. Yes, sir, they can be considered threatening just by lending their support and lending their credence. But that's their trial and their test. As you know, you saw earlier when we did the Million Youth March, you saw how they jumped all over Brother Nick Cannon. And Nick Cannon had given his support and talked about the need for a Million Youth March and the need for the youth to come together, stop the violence, be re-educated, redefined. And the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, jumped all over Brother Nick Cannon. But he stood up. And he rebuked the devil, as the Bible said, the devil freed from him. And that is a strong testament of what to do when these devils come after you, when they stand against you, when your oppressor tries to press you down and resist what you're doing. You got to rebuke the devil. And the entertainers out there must do the same thing. Unfortunately, many of our entertainers are not strong enough yet because the black conscious movement, the consciousness of black people, has not reached them yet. And so they're pushing hard. As you see, it's on Black Power Radio. We have the Bun B's on here. We're looking to bring the Ice Cubes on here. You know, we have Kenny Gavel on just a few weeks ago. You know, you heard from the great Jay Prince and Rap-A-Lot Records. You know, the Master P's we've dealt with. And so many other, quote-unquote, entertainers who are really men and women who are working a job or have an avenue of finance through entertainment, but they're also conscious as well. The brother who you might have heard of in the NBA named Metta World Peace, or Ron Artest, a conscious brother who's veteran, who's working and trying to find his way. You know, there are others out there like the rapper David Banner, a conscious brother, a socially conscious black man who, even though forced in certain positions at times on his contract, he made music that you might find objectionable. He is a conscious black man. You know, there's others out there who are on the front lines, who are out front with their consciousness. You heard the Immortal Techniques and the Dead Presence. You know about the Erykah Badus, so many others who have supported us over the years and who have lent their time and their finance to the struggle. So, yes, sir, they become supporters. And they become threatening at times when Jimi Hendrix, like Jimi Hendrix and those, helped the Black Panther Party. And so we want you to know, entertainers out there, that, you know, that you must support the black cause and you must support the revolution. You must support the struggle. You must help us because there is nobody out there who can do it like we're doing it. They're not called to do it like we're doing it. We're not saying that you should. Many are called, few are chosen. And this is our job, and this is what we're supposed to do. And so, brothers and sisters, if you're in the entertainment industry, important that you understand that black power, black people, need your support. You know, and a lot of times, our organizations, our formations are not supported. They're not supported by finance enough. If we had more finance, we could do a whole lot more. If we had more resource, we could do a whole lot more. We need those of you who have your million-dollar contracts, those of you who are multimillionaires and billionaires. You lend some support to the new Black Panther Party. You help us to open up these freedom and liberation schools all around America. Open up, as Dr. Umar Johnson talked about, these charter schools. You help us to finance these ministries of defense so that we can secure young black boys and girls going to school and going to the store to get some skills and something to drink. You give us that kind of help and that kind of support, and you say to hell with you devils and rebuke the devil. And God will bless you, the God of our people will bless you, as he's always blessed and protected you. Okay? And so, yes, sir, any entertainer that wishes to help, we need
to
help. Yes, sir.
I want to say one thing, too. I want to say rest in peace to Brother Herman Wallace from the Angola 3. He died, I think, around October or November. The Angola 3, 1972, they started up a Black Panther Party chapter in the Angola State Prison here in Louisiana because the guards was messing over the prisoners, and they came together. And, you know, I think one of them had got released in 2001, but Herman, if I'm not mistaken, Herman Wallace, you know, he died in the prison. But I want to say rest in peace to Herman Wallace, Angola 3.
General and comrade Herman Wallace, he passed away and transcended just a few days, well, a few weeks ago.
A few months ago. That was around. I want to say October, November, but I never brought it up on the broadcast.
Right. It was about a month or two ago. Brother Herman Wallace, he had been released, and he was declared terminally ill. We were just all of us holding on by a thread and hoping that he would be able to pull through. That many times those prison conditions, they help you to develop many different types of ailments and illnesses. You know, the improper nutrition and the way that our people are being treated and fed in there contribute to many of their sicknesses, along with the decrepit conditions and much of what is happening in there. And so, of course, many of our comrades do unfortunately pass away in the prison industrial complex, and that's why I said earlier that, that prison industrial complex must be abolished because it's not helping our people. It doesn't reform our people. And so, we got to have something else that the people cannot be exploited on, brother. So thank you so much for listening, brother Herman Wallace. Thank you so much for being a consistent listener and helper in the new Black Panther Party. We appreciate you, brother. Black power.
Black power. Soul power, brother.
Soul power. Let me go to our next caller. I'm sorry, I was on mute. Let me go to our next caller here. Thank you so much for your consistency, Brother Harold, and being a helper in the cause of the new Black Panther Party. We appreciate you. Our next caller, area code 202-706-202-706, you're on live, Black Power Radio. Welcome to the broadcast. Come on in, talk to us.
You know,
area code 202-706, you got a question or comment? Your mind's open.
She hasn't been to no clinic or nothing.
Okay. We got to move it forward. Area code 347-406. 347-406. Question or comment? This is Sean Saddam Carly. Come on in, talk to me.
Black power, it's Brother Supreme again. I'm just listening in, Brother Sean Kwali, and I'm just listening, absorbing the knowledge. All right, Black power.
Okay, Black power, my brother. Yes, sir. Well, we're doing the same. And again, I want to make the announcement that our national summit will be coming up for all new Black Panther members. This is definitely mandatory for you. I don't want to hear no excuses. We're giving you about 4 months worth of preparatory announcement and about 4 or 5 months worth of planning. And so this is well thought out. Make sure that you're there in Atlanta, Georgia, for the new Black Panther Summit. Don't let the FBI beat you to your own summit. We know you're going to be in the house, as you do. You get amongst all black organizations. You be listening, inspiring, and all that. But that's cool. Listen to everything we say because it's the truth. But new Black Panther Party, you make sure you're in the house in your national come roster 28th through the 30th, right there in Atlanta, Georgia. The email that I want to announce out there is NBPP Dignity Summit 2014. NBPP Dignity Summit 2014 at gmail.com. And that's to register for the summit. And to, be a part. And there will, of course, be portions that are open to the public. That'll be on our website, newblackpanther.com. Of course, the internal stuff, of course, unless you are a registered member of the New Black Panther Party, you won't be let in. But the stuff we'll have plenty to do for the public, plenty of guest speakers. We'll have a keynote address by a black man who you heard on the radio broadcast last week, the mayor of Jackson, Mississippi, revolutionary member of the Republic of New Africa. He represented Tupac Amaru Shakur in trial, Sister Asada Shakur in trial. We're talking about the revolutionary attorney, Brother Chokwe Lumumba. He'll be on with us. He was on with us last week, and he will be a keynote speaker in the tribute to our former national chairman and a man who we expect in moments Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, there's anybody out there who I personally know and who I've broken bread with and crisscrossed the water with and crisscrossed this country with and police with and snipers with and, you know, packed legal arms with and all kind of stuff with for this cause and that deserves tribute, one of them black men that I know and that I will always represent the best of what he does and what he has done is Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, and he earns our support and deserves our support, and he definitely deserves tribute for 12 hard, long-fought years as chairman of this organization. And many of you, you really don't know the stress that goes into being a chairman or that goes into being a chief of staff or that goes into being a minister of defense or any of these offices that, you know, are operated within the new Black Panther Party. Many of you just don't know, you know, what it takes to keep this organization going. And some of you, I don't want you to know it is stress. I want you that in the future, if you become the national chief of staff and myself or national chairman or you are Minister, National Minister of Defense, or you are a National Minister of Information, or you are a National Minister of Culture, or National Minister of Youth, or any of our National Central Committee, or if you are on the regional levels with us or the local levels with us, I want you to be able to do this better than us, and I want you to be able to do this with less stress than we have, okay? And so we're going through this now. And we're going through the bumps and the bruises, and we're going through the threats, and we're going through the slander, and we're going through the hard times, sometimes down to our last dime and last dollar. No holler, no gas in the vehicle. Sometimes going through it so that our people can have some liberation and some real freedom, and we're making a real sacrifice. But those of you who come behind us, I don't want you to go through it like we're going through it. I want you to do this better than we're doing it. The Black Panther Party would not be happy if we made the same mistakes that they made in 1965 in Lowndes County, 64 in Lowndes County, 66 out of Oakland. They would not be happy if we made the same mistakes that the BLA made through the 70s on into the late 80s. They wouldn't be happy. Nobody would be happy. No parent is happy if their child makes the same mistakes and goes through the same thing that they went through. Even though we got to go through our own bumps and bruises, we got to be tested, we got to make our own way and make our own mark. We cannot make and go through the same thing over and over again. And so we want you to be better helpers. We want you to be better participants and better students of this mission. And better warriors, better agitators, better organizers. We don't want you to have the same stress and heartache that we have had to endure. And so go through the perfection process and the stressful process of being resurrected into new men and women that will produce new men and women who will do this to a higher degree. And so I think that our guest is here with us. And I want to go right into it as I know that the clock is ticking. You know, time waits for no man and no woman. So I introduced him well. You all know him well. And I want us to hopefully receive him well. I think this is our guest and our revolutionary attorney and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. Let me see if this is him at area code 202-379. Black Power, welcome to Black Power Radio.
Hey, Black Power.
Black Power. There's a mighty voice. Black Power. How are you, sir?
Man, I'm just out of breath running because all praise is due to Allah. I just got off this plane. All my phone batteries went out. Everything went out, and I'm rushing in the door because I know I expect it on the radio. So aren't you all on 4 hours tonight?
Yes, sir. We'll be on from 10:30 to 12 behind this broadcast.
Okay, so let me do this then. Let me help me out like this. I need to get in my bag, just get straight for a minute. But there are a couple of men that should be on the line here that I want them to come on because they're supposed to be with me tonight, and that's Brother Larry and Brother Yusuf from Project Second Chance, a couple of good brothers I met at Savior's Day Convention at the prison workshop, and they are ex-prisoners, and we have formed a partnership where we are doing some great work for the brothers behind bars. And so they should be calling from either a Florida number, a Miami number, or a North Carolina number, some 704 or 305 or something like that. And because I can't get my phone, my other phone on to text them and get all their numbers because I don't even have a charger and all of that. So what I want you to do is if Brother Larry or Yusuf, who I know they're supposed to come on at 9 tonight, their hands should be up. They should be pressing number one. So let's try to find them, if you will, please. And then
all right,
let me try to get situated, and then I'll tell y'all what I'm going to talk about tonight. I got a lot to talk about. I'm honored to be on the number one radio show in the black nation and in the black world. That's Black Power Radio.
Yes,
this
sir.
Is where all the revolutionaries are checking in, and I'm want to be still have my revolutionary credentials, so I got to check in too. And so I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna go back over Savior's Day, everything about Savior's Day, and Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, and all of that. I want to go back to Northern Illinois University and my travels to Texas, and I surely want to go into my one-on-one with Geraldo Rivera today in New York City. And I want to talk about our brothers and sisters behind bars. And so there's a lot to talk about. What I want you to do, my dear brothers, find Brother Larry and Yusuf. They should be calling from a Miami area code and a North Carolina area code. I'm almost certain. North Carolina.
And
if you can find them and bring them on, and then I'm going to give me 10 minutes to get my phones on and get myself straight, and I'll be black to you.
Okay, Black man, you got 10 minutes.
Give me 15 minutes. And I'm coming back. Right. Bring them on because these young men helped me with my research today. I had a great interview with Geraldo Rivera, but they did research for me, and they helped me out in Detroit, and they're going to help me and us and the New Black Panther Party, Black Lawyers for Justice, and the Prison Reform Ministry of the Nation of Islam. We have some serious plans to help our family behind bars. So let me let you carry your mission out, and I'll be right back in 15.
All right. Yes, sir. Brothers and sisters, that was Attorney Malik Zinu Shabazz, President, National Director, Black Lawyers for Justice, former National Chairman, New Black Panther Party. He will be right back at you. We're talking to him fresh off of the plane. He's been moving live from New York City. Fresh interview with Geraldo Rivera, fresh out of Detroit, Michigan, with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Let's give him 15 minutes. I think our family's here with us, the brothers that he mentioned, out of the Nation of Islam and the Prison Reform Ministry. Let's see if this is them at air code 901-587, 901-587, Black Power. Welcome to the broadcast. Are you all with us?
Yes, sir. We're here, brother.
All right. Assalamu alaikum, Black Power. How are you?
I'm doing fine, brother.
Salam.
Yourself? Alik Salam, brother.
All right. And so who am I talking to now?
Brother, you're talking to Brother Larry and Brother Joseph. We just got off the plane also. Brother Malik was getting off the plane in his area, and we're getting off the plane. I just got off the plane in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Brother Joseph just got off in Miami, Florida.
Nice, nice. All right. Well, welcome to the broadcast. This is Black Power Radio. You know that you all are family. I know that you all just came off of the heroes and the crowning event of Black History Month, Savior's Day. Attorney Malik, I know you heard him. He gave a brief introduction of you all, but if you all could kindly please welcome yourself to the radio broadcast audience and introduce yourself right here.
Yes, sir. My name is Brother Larry, and I'm with ProjectSecondChance.org. That's Project, P-R-O-J-E-C-T, 2-N-D, Chance.org. Brother Joseph, introduce yourself.
Yes, sir. My name is Brother Joseph. As well, I'm with Project Second Chance. I'm a great helper of Brother Larry. And, of course, as Brother Malik Zulu Shabazz mentioned, we shared information with him that was very helpful. but we also recognize that he's going to be the one, brother, that God is going to use to gain the relief and the release of many brothers who are languishing in the prisons throughout America. And we have projects that we're going to help him use, that we've used to get ourselves out. And by the grace of Allah, we'll be successful.
All right. Now, tell us now, you all are working in the prison mission. We just had a question earlier. I don't know how long you all have been on the line, but we had a question earlier from one of our callers, and they were asking about the prison ministry of the New Black Panther Party. And we have ourselves begun a prison ministry or a prison work. So tell us a little bit about your prison work, how long that you've been involved with it, and what got you started.
Brother Joseph, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Well, me, Brother Joseph, this is Brother Joseph speaking. I was just released a month ago after serving 19 years for, of course, an unjust crack law sentence. And while I was serving, well, we don't like to use the term serving time because we made the time serve us. While incarcerated, we positioned a student coordinator of the Nation of Islam Prison Reform Ministry. And while there, of course, we reformed our Allah through the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we reached many of the young men inside the various institutions that we were sent from, because we went to many, because when you stand up inside the prison industrial complex and you begin to help evolve your people, they're not going to leave you at one institution very long. So by the grace of Allah, we were able to travel throughout the federal prison system, sharing this information, sharing this knowledge, and of course we used many strategies like things. We wrote letters to the president. We wrote letters to the Congress. We wrote letters to the legislature. And through that, we were able to gain great influence with the crack law as far as getting it repealed. And I want everybody to know that there are many brothers who were released under the repealing of the various of the crack law. However, there are many brothers who are still languishing because they believe that if a brother has a conduct and he's deemed a career criminal, they did not give him the relief of this unjust law. And we know that this is unfair, and I had taken a stance that if I didn't get released this time on the crack law, is that I was going to make it extremely hot in the federal prison system. Because I know that something that I've been claiming to be unjust for many years, and this enemy has admitted that the law is unjust and still refused to give me my relief, I would not sit quietly. And I didn't want my brothers to sit quietly. So by the grace of Allah, we just gained our relief. Now it's time for us to fight for those brothers. But we also want to encourage those brothers to fight for themselves. Because you can't do it by yourself out here. They can't do it by themselves in there. It must be a united front. It must be a united effort. And I think we have the knowledge and the experience to help fight this battle to a successful conclusion. Go ahead, Brother Larry.
Yes, I would agree with Brother Joseph. Myself, I met Brother Joseph in Manchester, Kentucky, after being shipped from Memphis, Tennessee, the FBI in Memphis, Tennessee, for having too much influence on the prison compound. A few of the brothers, we were there, and we actually gathered up the gangster disciples, the vice lords. We got the, you know, the Crips, the Bloods. We got the religious communities, from the Christians to the Moore Science Temples to the brothers who were Black Panthers. I mean, inside those who was Black Revolutionary or Pan Africanists, and we gathered all the brothers, you know, while we were incarcerated, and we had a basketball tournament, with the various different groups. There wasn't one brother who elbowed a brother in the mouth on the court, and it was so peaceful that the next day that they actually placed us all in a hole, the brothers who organized it, who were in the Nation of Islam, and they actually placed us in a hole, and from there we stayed in a hole for 3 to 4 months, you know, being mistreated, and we were all separated because they said as a group we were too influential, which is standard in the federal prison system. So then from there I was shipped to Manchester, Kentucky, met Brother Joseph, met a
a few other powerful brothers. And as you travel from different federal prison to federal prison, you use different tactics to try to reach your people. Our goal in the federal system was not to teach violence. It was actually to teach, you know, the resurrection of the mind, to read, to study, so you can be more influential, more powerful, and more effective, and to learn the law. As with Brother Malik, as being an attorney, you know, that's what I admire about my brother Malik, is that he understands and he knows the law. The same thing with President Barack Obama. He understands and he knows the law. And when you understand and you know the law, you see, you know how to function. You know how to rise above the condition of your people. So with Brother Joseph, along with a few other brothers, we've came up with something called Project Exodus for Prisoners. Now, myself, I didn't fall up under the crack law. However, I was a young brother who was number one fighter in the United States in my weight division. In Taekwondo, I trained at the Olympic Training Center. I graduated at 17 years old out of 11th grade. I was actually aspiring to be a veterinarian. I was attending college at 17 years old. And on the college campus, I was approached by an undercover agent. And so now we have something what we call Project Second Chance as we've come out of prison. And we'll get into other things as we're on online. But now we have something that we call ProjectSecondChance.org. And we have Dr. Ben Chavis. When we came up with Project X for Prisoners, we send it up to Dr. Ben. We send it up to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. They read it. Dr. Ben was sent in at the time. He was a national representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We, by the grace of Allah, got him federal prison, because one of the highest individual that represented the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan at the time, who was actually allowed to come into a federal prison system, not a jail, an actual federal prison complex. So Dr. Ben came in, and from that point on, brother, I mean, it's just, we've been rolling, brother. I mean, we are still in contact with our brothers who are, you know, locked up. We're still fighting for our brothers. We have some powerful brothers, some very powerful, intelligent brothers who we need out here to resurrect right now, our youth. The problem today, right now, we talk a lot of things about, you know, the adults, but right now we have young black men like myself, brilliant men inside of prison right now, brothers who were in college, who was approached on college campuses by the government, by officials, by sheriff departments, by the DEA, by the ATF. You know, they're not just in the streets looking for our brothers. They're in college campuses, too, recruiting our brothers, and we know for a fact, because you have great brothers who were in college, that Brother Joseph himself was attending FAMU, you know, when he was actually, you know, incarcerated. I was attending University of North Carolina at Greensboro when I was incarcerated. So now our goal now, brother, as we're out with Project Second Chance.org, which caught Brother Malik's attention, is that we're focusing on the youth, and every summer we hold a camp for all the brothers who were formerly incarcerated, whether it was state or federal prison. We come together here in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Dr. Ben Chavis, who was recently pardoned by Governor Bev Perdue, he's with the Wilmington 10. He comes down. Russell Simmons sends his greetings. He's published us a few times on globalgrind.com for the works that we've done. We worked on a red carpet with the Hip Hop Summit with Dr. Benjamin and Russell Simmons. I mean, slept in their houses. And what we're doing now is focusing on our youth. As the brothers are trying to get our people in legislatures and things of that nature, we're also focusing on our youth, because there's young brothers right now that are 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, don't know nothing about the new Black Panther Party, know nothing about the Nation of Islam. All they know about is brothers who are actually dead. Brothers are no longer here. And they're looking at this as history. They don't know the law, like Brother Malik is teaching on. They don't understand how to deal with the police. All right? So that's our focus right now, brother. We are actually focused on two things. That is, getting to our brothers who are incarcerated, as just like us, who have come out of prison, have not committed any crimes. Come out here, brother, and who are out here trying to reach our people, teach our people. And that is our focus, brother. And like we said, we host a camp. You can go to ProjectSecondChance.org. You can see the video. We do videography. I mean, we got some brilliant brothers. We use the youth. We're teaching them videography. We're teaching them editing skills. We're teaching them how to have skills, brother, on how to survive out here in this world. Because when brothers are incarcerated and then they are let out, we see right now that they're getting ready to let out a group of brothers who actually, as Brother Joseph, he was let out a year and a half ago. There's another group of brothers that's getting ready to be let out under this new law that they're allowing these brothers out when they reduced it, the crack law. When these brothers come out, they're letting them out at a very key time in America's history, where jobs are at an all-time low, where America's at an all-time low financially, spiritually, morally,
wars all around the world that we are involved in right now, our people. And I'm right here at Fort Bragg. I'm right here at the biggest military base in the world. That's Fort Bragg. I'm born and raised at Fayetteville, North Carolina, brother. I see my brothers suffering every day coming back from wars from post-traumatic stress. I see my brothers going over there weighing 175 pounds, now coming back after being on medication and things of that nature. I see my brothers now weighing 250 pounds, brothers who can't sleep, brothers who are assaulting their wives, brothers who are assaulting their children because they have been forced and been placed in a situation where they wanted to actually go into the military to actually get an education. They didn't know they were going to be they didn't know they were going to be sent over there and be shooting children who would be strapping bombs on themselves. These brothers, I talk to these brothers every day. So our focus is to wake our people up, brother, from the cradle to the grave. This is what Brother Joseph and I have done. He's got out. We stayed in contact. Now Brother Joseph has got his own business, and now he's out here. We want to teach brothers, man. Listen, man, there's a way to make it out here, but you got to stay and spend within your means. We got to teach these brothers because they're coming home, like I said, during a time period that America's at an all-time low. An all-time low. What are these brothers and what are these sisters going to do when they come home? What are they going to do when they come home to nothing? No jobs. We just came from out of Detroit, Michigan, brother, with our video camera, looking at all the homes, every other four or five homes. There's only like a person living in them. Then you don't even know who's living in these homes, if it's somebody who's actually paying rent or paying the mortgage. Windows busted out. Roofs have big holes in them and people living in them. Knowing that Detroit is under bankruptcy right now and knowing that this country is heading in the same direction, what are these young brothers going to do, these young sisters, these older brothers, these older sisters like Brother Joseph who was locked up for 19, 20, 25 years for an unjust crack law? What are these brothers going to come home to? To me personally, I believe it's a trap. I believe it's a trap. They're letting them out now? Why? And I believe it's going to be the revolving door. So we got to prepare for these young brothers. We say a prison reform ministry. Prison don't reform you. All right? You got to go in and not let the time do you, but do the time. So that's what we're focused on, brother. We were very grateful, very blessed. Young brothers, older brothers, meet Brother Malik and spend time with him. And actually get the trust of our brother. I mean, just bumping into each other over the course of a few days. And then in time, taking our brother to the airport, eating with our brother, talking with our brother, waking up early in the morning, taking him where he needed to go. These are brothers who come out of prison. These are brothers that come out of prison. We spoke with Raheem Devine, you know, convincing the brother to come out and attend the Torchlight Summer Camp that would take place from June 23rd to June 27th this year. This is our focus, black man. We're proud of y'all for what y'all are doing, brother, and we thank Allah for you.
Yes, sir, brother. All praise be.
Yes, sir. Well, there's something to be said about you, brothers, and we can definitely hit a fire. We know automatically you all are coming right back for services, and we know you charged up, but I'm thinking that's your battery anyway. I'm thinking that you all are charged up and ready to roll, and we are certainly appreciative of it. My question here, I don't know if Attorney Malik Shabazz is back, but my question to you here, we had mentioned earlier about the abolishment of the prison industrial complex. I'm a firm believer, I'm going on record, I'm a firm believer that the prison industrial complex should be abolished and completely destroyed. I don't believe, and we don't believe, that it is a place of reform. What are your thoughts on the abolishment of the prison industrial complex?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If I may, one thing we know, as Brother Malcolm said, is second to college, if a person wanted to sit down and think, prison is only second to college. Why? Because in that experience, this place either becomes a womb or it's a tomb, meaning what? It's a place in which it can be a place of degeneration, or it can be a place of growth and evolution. Of course, there's no good intent from the enemy to have this prison industrial complex. And we know that the prison industrial complex was set up and targeted for black men. and for black people in general.
Right.
And today, of course, the black woman, because she is going into the prison industrial complex at an alarming rate. Now, we know when our people were in slavery, you didn't have to put the black man and woman in prison because what was worse than slavery? However, when slavery was so-called abolished, the prison industrial complex was set up to get you right back in, slavery. Because, I mean, we don't have to go into the point of the 13th Amendment. We all know about that part. However, what we are intending to do, because we know what we did in our situation, is that what this enemy meant for evil, God made it good.
That's
God right. made it hey, good. Brother. You know, the brother, the prison reform minister of the Nation of Islam, Brother Abdullah,
I'm sorry to cut you off. We do got to tell you my late Shabazz back on, and we're going into this. So we want to bring him at least in the conversation so he can go on in, and we can move forward. Oh, 1 second. Attorney Shabazz, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I am, and I'm going to relent my time in a moment. Matter of fact, I'm going to hold for a minute because brother's completing some important points, and I just want to let you know that I'm back. But these men are some special men that came into my life over this weekend, and that's why I'm always an advocate for going to Savior's Day, because you can meet good brothers and sisters from all walks of life, and if you're a real organizer, you got to be at Savior's Day. And,
yes, right.
And what I'm trying to do is avoid cutting too many deals. I'm so busy, I'm almost fearful of making any more agreements. But I had to make this agreement with the Nation of Islam Prison Ministry. But I'll talk about it when I come back, because I want to put it in context of Saturday, the Prison Ministry Workshop, meeting these gods here from Project Second Chance. And, brother, they took me and the supreme captain of the New Black Panther Party, Brother Hakeem. They drove us around, picking us up at 4 o'clock in the morning and moves like that. And they're good brothers. And so Black Lawyers for Justice is cutting a deal, making an agreement with Project Second Chance, and we're going to help Minister Abdullah of the Nation of Islam Prison Reform Ministry. We're going to help him with some legal things, but we're going to also help him get organized. He has a hell of a job on his hand with an organization whose ranks and membership could be up to 25% or 30% at least. That have either come out of from behind bars, they got their ex and their indoctrination in the Nation of Islam behind bars, at least up to 30%. And there are many more who can be brought in, and there are other work that need to do to help those that are in, and then he's got work to do, and I can't do it all for him. But God told me to help Minister Abdullah, help him get organized. And I'm going to help bring some brothers and sisters that are in the Nation of Islam to help him get organized and help him get his emails and his administration right, because he's a good minister, but he needs some black angels and some worker bees to help him, because this job is huge. And so I just want to say I'll come back and deal with that. I want to let brothers Larry and Joseph continue on here, but I want to say this to the New Black Panther Party, my family, my home. I want to say this, that I know y'all are serious. I know that many of y'all have spent time behind bars. And now you need to listen carefully to this segment, because those of you who are serious about formalizing that work of helping our brothers and sisters behind bars, we need you in on this, because it's only so much I can do, and I'm starting tonight by making my word bond. And so, you know, we're not just talking about our political prisoners, who are very important. But all of these brothers and sisters behind bars who get knowledge of self, they're prisoners of consciousness. And right now, everybody that's locked up, it's the white man's fault, one way or the other. Almost 90% that's locked up one way or the other, it's the white man's fault to some degree or another. But that's not my subject. But I'm just telling you that everybody, like the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, if they believe in Islam, or if they believe in doing right, or if they believe in this struggle and they want to change their lives, they all need to be let out. So let me let these brothers build for another 10 minutes. then I'm coming back and give my Savior's Day report, my New York report, my Illinois report, and then I'm going to have to get up off of it because I know y'all got every revolutionary in the country calling in. So let me shut up. I love y'all, and I'll be back in 10 minutes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Brother Larry, I take 5 minutes, Brother Larry, and you take the other five. Brother Joseph, you know how we do, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Just, brother. Brother, we not. Go ahead and handle your business, brother.
Yes,
you
sir,
just
brother.
Home. You're just coming home, black man. You know.
Yes, sir. All praises be to Allah.
Please express it, brother.
Yes, sir, brother. I know we don't have time to express, brother, this my first Savior's Day experience, brother. It was phenomenal. It was something that, I mean, inexplicable. However, as I mentioned, brother, the prison reform minister, Brother Abdullah Muhammad, you know, when he came into several institutions that I was at. And when he came, when he would come in, he would make a statement that's very true and very powerful. He would say that, brother, they got God locked down. Imagine being a prisoner sitting in a chair and a minister walks in and tells you that they got God locked down. That was a very powerful statement. And it's true. But what does it mean? It means that there's the people of God who has the power and the potential to manifest that power of God. However, they have not been nurtured and they have not been transformed. Prison Reform Ministry of the Nation of Islam, that's the work of that ministry, to reform the people. However, we need the legislative side. And this is where attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz comes in.
That's right.
The brother who's going to organize and effectuate a change that will help these brothers who are being transformed and reformed to not rot on the tree. We need to bring them from that confinement and bring them back into society, in which they can help rebuild the wasted cities. They can help rebuild the cities that they helped destroy in the past. So the connection must be made. And I swear, and I don't want to swear, but and I just say in the name of Allah, based on the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who elevated and help transform myself and Brother Larry and the various brothers through videotapes, by watching the videotapes of these brothers, by watching the videotapes of Brother Khalid Abdul Muhammad. There was a statement Brother Khalid Abdul Muhammad wrote on the end of a letter that he sent to his brother Frankie, because we were in an institution together in USD Florence, Colorado, that I took to heart. And he said to his brother, your hurt is my hurt, and your pain is my pain. And I submit to you that all of my brothers who are still behind the wall, your hurt is my hurt.
That's right.
And your pain is my pain. And we will do everything within our power, brother, to get these brothers on this side. We're going to throw the rope back and get them across the wall to this side, where we can go and get our people and get our youth.
And when we, I want to say, Brother Joseph, and when we
yes,
get to those brothers,
yes.
I want to say this to the brothers out there right now, to all you brothers out there right now who are free, who are locked down, you got an obligation, you have a duty to
yes,
go
sir.
To the children, to go to the youth and educate them. Look at our children, man. How is it that all the brothers that's out today right now,
yes,
and we're not out there sacrificing our time, sacrificing our life, to go back to the youth and educate and teach them? We know we can't go into the school systems and teach it the way we were teaching in the prison system. But as Brother Abdullah and as Brother Minister Farrakhan was teaching us, we got to have a universal message, man.
Yes.
In the prison system, there's only one group that can actually go to every brother in that prison system and unify the people, the brothers of the NOI and the FOI. The Nation of Islam, the FOI. And I'm telling all my brothers that's out there, whether you're Moore Science Temple, Black Panther Party, the New Black Panther Party, whether you're an old gangster disciple, an old vice lord, an OG. It doesn't matter. Your job right now, you know it, is to go to the youth and be a good example to them. Lead them out of this valley of the shadow of death. Lead them. Plant the red seeds for these young brothers out here. Because we know that there's nobody right now who can reach these brothers.
That's right.
I'm saying, the attorneys can't do it, the doctors can't do it, the psychologists can't do it, the master degrees can't do it, you can't do it. It's the brothers
right.
that's coming out of prison right now who can reach the youth, because we are the brothers that they admire for some odd reason. That's what's been put to them. We have a duty, man. We have an obligation, man, to not go buy the Jordans, to put
that's
the money to the youth, to not go buy the big leather coats. I mean, we all want the finer things in life. But right now, brothers, we got to make a sacrifice, man. Our children are dying, man. They're gunning our children down because our children don't know that if a white man is following you, he's got something in his hand. He's got something ready to take you out.
Yeah.
If a white man's approaching you in your car because you're playing music, he's got something that he's ready to use to take you out.
Yes, man.
Our young brothers, I want to commend Brother Malik when he handed me this black Lawyers for Justice pamphlet. Why does the black community need special advice when dealing with the police?
Know your rights. What black people need to know when dealing with the police?
Teach on it, Brother Joseph.
Yes, let me he's going to speak. He's going to represent that.
Let me jump in here real fast, black man, because we rolling on time. And Attorney Malik Shabazz, he's got to get his piece in.
Please, brother, we want to hear him.
I know you're all excited. What I got to do, I'm going to talk it over with the national chairman, Ms. Hashim Dinger. We've got to get you all back, and I know Attorney Malik Shabazz is going to come back with you all as well and give you all a full segment. We've got to get you all a full – y'all got too much energy not to give you a full segment. I don't want to cut further into our brother's time. Let me bring him back in so he can get
all right.
his stuff in. Black power.
All right, black power. And, you know, that's what's up. Let's bring the brothers back on, and I'm sure with y'all scheduling and programming, surely you're going to make some time for our brothers and sisters behind bars, because that's a subject that's a subject for a united front. That's a subject that Jericho and the brothers from the New African Movement are passionate about. I think they were on last week or so. That's a subject the Nation of Islam is passionate about. It's a subject that the new Black Panther Party should be passionate about. The Nation of Islam passionate about, again, and Black Lawyers for Justice is passionate about keeping brothers and sisters out of jail and also dealing with these biased laws. So I'm sure we'll come back and visit it, but I wanted to bring these two giants on. I didn't know they were really ministers also. They undercover ministers.
Absolutely.
I mean, they should have been heard at that rally. They should have been heard. Because we need fire, we need inspiration, but we also need balance in the spirit of Maat. We need fire, we need inspiration, we need information, but in balance we need a schedule and we need a plan of action.
Yes, sir.
Because time is ticking. And, you know, the Minister Farrakhan didn't give this lectures over this last year called The Time and What Must Be Done for No Reason. You know, the time and what must be done. And time is what? It's motion times distance. It's how far you got to go, where you got to go, and how fast are you going to get there, and what rate are you going to get there. That's how you know and verify you what? You're making time. And so are we in time or behind time? Now, in all fairness, we're behind time in all of our objectives in the struggle. But now, you know, my mind here is I'm making use of time. My time is valuable. Our time is valuable. And therefore, you know, expect soon that in our work with Project Second Chance and in hopefully working in this united front with the brothers and sisters behind bars, that we're going to come out with a schedule soon. And we're going to come out with an itinerary. And we're going to move this agenda. Whatever this agenda is, if I'm going to be involved in it, goddammit, if it's March, April, May, it's going to be on a schedule and we're going to have some accountability because ain't nobody got time to waste. Now, I don't want to say that. I love y'all, but, you know, I be getting serious. So let me do this. You've heard what I've been through. Let me go back to my host so he can ask me some questions. But I want to say before he asks his questions about my activities, I want to thank this opportunity for the new national chairman of the new Black Panther Party, my dear and beloved Minister Hashim Nzinga, for allowing me on this broadcast, and our new national chief of staff, my former national spokesman, a great one in his time, Minister Sean Kwali, and all of the other laboring national staff of the new Black Panther Party. I thank you all for allowing me on. I want to say that, you know, but before I get back, well, I get into that. Go ahead, Sean. You ask your questions because I've been preached up my time. Go right ahead.
Oh, yeah, we're rolling. So, like I said, I know we're pushing on time. We're going to come back here at 10:30, so I'm going to try to see if we can't get you.
You have to go off and come back. How many minutes we got now?
Yeah, we're looking right into about 3 minutes and 29 seconds at the end of this segment.
So we come back at 10:30, right?
We come back at the top at 10:30. We got Dr. Leonard Jeffries coming in, but I want to see if we can't get you in to give the report. At least at the top
Let me do this. I just saw Dr. Jeffries in the airport in what city? I've been in so many cities. That was Chicago airport when I was coming from Northern Illinois. Well, let me say this because I posted this on my Facebook. You all call back at area code 646-478-4447. 646-478-4447. Tweet it, blog it, go on Facebook, tell everybody tune in to Black Blog Talk Radio /Freedom or Death. And at 10:30 Eastern at Blog Talk Radio /Freedom or Death, that attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz is coming on at 10:30. The Honorable Dr. Leonard Jeffries is coming on at 10:30. And we got news that every revolutionary, every activist, every concerned community person, y'all need to hear, because I got hot reports from inside Savior's Day. I got direct words to the new Black Panther Party from Minister Louis Farrakhan's mouth. I got the inside on the Khalid Muhammad Farrakhan deal. I got the inside on my one-on-one showdown with old Geraldo Rivera. So I know you want these juicy details. So 646-478-4447. 646-478-4447, talkradio.com/freedom or death. Y'all come back at 10:30 and spread the word everywhere because it's a hot show tonight.
All right. There it is. We'll be back 10:30, Blog Talk Radio. Tell a neighbor, tell a friend. We're coming back right at the top of the hour. Coming in, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, Dr. Leonard Jeffries, Chairman Hashim Nzinga, your brother Sean Saddam Kwali, and you. We'll be back 10:30 Eastern Black Power.
On June